Up to Pasuk Beis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Beis, B'chosiv Kebalayla, she cries at night. V'dimasa al lechya, and her tears are upon her cheek. Ein la menachem mikol oyavecha, she has no comfort from all of her lovers, all of those that love her are unable to provide her with comfort. Kol re'echa bogduva, all of her friends have rebelled against her. Hayu lo lo'ivim, they have become her enemies. Okay, let's take a look at the betrayer. They have betrayer.
Okay. Sounds like Eeyore again.
Yes, it does. Indeed, so. It's one of the things that you learn on Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, you can learn save for Eeyore. Okay, let's see the Rashi's. B'chos Sivke. Rashi's question is, why does it say, what's the repetition? What's the significance of repetition? B'chos Sivke. Shtei b'chiyos. Two cryings. Al shtei churbanin. On the two destructions, the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Shin. So obviously, this sefer was written before the Churban Bayis Rishon. It's very interesting, is that if we learn, whenever it was written, it was certainly written before the building of the Bayis Shin. And that's just a fascinating insight that Rashi is explaining, that already Yirmiyah is revealing that there's going to come a Bayis Shadi, and that also will be destroyed. Al Shnei Churbanin. It's really it's not often in Chazal that you have a pasuk and we're going to right away it's Dailcha Tzara B'Shaita. The Moshe Rabbeinu, we learn that Rash, when Moshe Rabbeinu revealed himself, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu and told him that I'm going to redeem you, Hashem, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, asked Hashem, what is your name? Eke Asher Eke. I will be Asher Eke, and that I will be. Moshe says, what's the repetition? Eke Asher Eke. I will be with you in this tzara, and I'll be with you in the next tzaras. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Dai lucha tzara b'shaita. It's enough to deal. I should go tell Klal Yisrael Eka Asher Eke that there's a tzara now, and there's going to be more tzaras later in the future. It's enough to deal with the tzaras we have right now. So Hashem said, You're right. Eke koyo somar, koyo somar, Eke shalochani aleichem, Eke has sent me to you. Hashem said, I'm asking, Dailcha tzara b'shaita. Yet here, all over again, we have that same question. B'choy sivke balayla, b'choy sivke, the repetition, to cry twice, the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. So what's the pshat? The teretz must be is that here, it's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's a Navi. A Navi, no matter how much Rachmanis a human being has, it does not come near the Rachmanis of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he sends Moshe Rabbeinu, in Chanami, Dayo Letzara B'Shaita. But when the Navi, Yirmiyah, speaks, so he does not have the same degree of compassion. He says, I got bad news for you. Not only will this bias be Choraf, the bias Sheni will be Choraf as well. Balayla, Rashi, Balayla. Why is it say the word Balayla? Shad Mikdash Nishraf Balayla. Here it's revealing us a piece of information that the bias was set on fire at night. The Omar Mar, Bleis Erev Hitzisu Boya Sa'ur, it was towards the evening when they ignited, they set the Mikdash on fire. Period. Dover Acher, another interpretation. Balayla, Laila shall be Vichias Miraglam. Before we go, let's don't want to take a step back. What's the significance of it being set on fire at night? This is the Gemara in Masechta. I forgot where the Gemara is. That's why we observe Tisha B'Av. Most of the Mikdash was burnt on the 10th day of Av. The 10th day of Av. So the question, the Gemara, there's a machlekes in the Gemara. When should we observe the Churban Bayis? And one opinion says we should observe it on the 10th day because that's the day when most of the Mikdash was actually burnt and was destroyed. The other opinion, the opinion that we follow, says no, we start at the 9th because Aschalta de Paranusa, the beginning is what is significant. And here it says that the beginning, that's why the night, and even when we discuss the different dargos of when the Churban began, the night was the beginning of the beginning. The whole 9th day was the beginning. The Mikdash burned mostly on the 10th day. The 9th day was the beginning. But even in the beginning, there are different madregos. There's the beginning of the beginning, and there's the middle of the beginning, and there's the end of the beginning. When is the beginning of the beginning? The night of Tisha B'Av. And that is why the night indeed has the most severity. The night is when we lay in Megillas Eichan. Indeed, we learn that from this very pasuk. B'chos Sivke Balayla. Being that it says Balayla, Balayla was one of the Makaris why we do something very unusual. We actually lay in the Megillah. We never lay in at night. The only exception is Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is the only time when we have Kriyas HaTorah at night, and that itself is very controversial. Many of the commentators are very disturbed. What gives us the right to make a bracha, take out a Sefer Torah, and to make a bracha on a Sefer Torah at night? Where does this come from? It's not clear. This is a recent minhag. This minhag, I don't think, can be traced more than 400. Because Kriyas HaTorah is Takanas Chazal and has to be done by day.
Why can't it be done? What are the Gedarim
and why? Because we don't have a precedent. Chazal Masakin to make Birchas HaTorah in the morning. We wake up in the morning and make the bracha Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvos V'mitzvonu La'asayik B'divrei Sarah. The bracha Asher Bochar Banu. When we make a bracha on the Torah, when we take out the Sefer Torah, that to some degree is an extension of the Birchas HaTorah that we recite privately.
Maybe. Yeah. According to that logic, we shouldn't be able to learn Torah.
Well, in a chanami, according to the mekubalim, you're not. According to the mekubalim, you're supposed to all learn that only Torah shebal peh. Torah shebichsav is din, is harsh. Torah shebal peh is rachamim. And night is not a time to learn Torah shebichsav. So in a chanami, that reading the Torah at night from a sefer Torah with a bracha goes against pretty much.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it has to do with the fact that the Sitara was intended for the masses.
Yeah.
And you don't tend to have masses.
The masses are not are sleeping. Okay, I know. But there is obviously a parallel. Simchas Torah is the appreciation. Chazal tells why was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed? The Gemara have to go through a discussion and they ask this question to everyone, and finally the answer was Shloi Beruchoi Batorah Techila. They did not make a bracha when they read the Torah. Now there are many interpretations of what that means. But it's interesting is that there is a parallel. The only time we learn from a Sefer, Torah Shebichsav, is twice. Megillas Eicha and Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah, and the appreciation of the Torah is at night. And the night of Tisha... What? Oh, that's right, Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther, we also learn that. You're right. So, okay, well, how does that put into the equation? I don't know. It's also, Megillas Esther is also part of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. It's part of the restoration. With the miracle of Purim, Achashverosh once again set into motion the process where his son Daryavesh would allow them to rebuild Yerushalayim. The only place where Yerushalayim is spelled Mole with the Yud is in Megillas Esther. Throughout Tanakh, Yerushalayim is Choser. Yerushalayim is spelled without a Yud. There is no Yud. If you're born in Yerushalayim, can you write on your passport that you're an Israeli citizen? What? Israel. Is it Yerushalayim Israel? But that was
you can't write Israel, you could write Yerushalayim.
That was yesterday. This is Ma'is Avos, this is Mushosh in Tanakh. It's Choser. Yerushalayim throughout Tanakh is missing the Yud. It's Choser. It's a good drasha for Rabbi and Shabbos, right? It's Choser. The Yud is Choser. The only time the Yud will be Mole is Lo'asalavo. It's alluded to.
Supreme Court ruled.
The Supreme Court should have ruled is that if you're born on Purim in Yerushalayim, then you can write Israel.
Because then it would be the Nahum.
Because Purim, it's spelled in Megillah, Yerushalayim is spelled Mole. Okay, so we're going to.
It's all right. The Supreme Court is a Purim.
It doesn't say Jerusalem. It doesn't say
Jerusalem. The fire saying.
What do they think is Jerusalem, Spain? Everybody knows where Jerusalem is.
Palestine.
Yeah, the word Palestine is.
Palestine.
Okay, but we're going to see.
Palestinians were the Jews.
Okay, we're going to see a number of parallels as we go through between between Tisha B'Av and the other holidays, between the Zeh L'um HaZeh Borei Elokim. Let's jump ahead now. We know we have the Bein HaMetzarim. The Bein HaMetzarim are the 3 weeks between Shivas and Betam. We're going to have them in the next pasuk. Kol Reitfecha Hisigur Bein HaMetzarim. Between the Bein HaMetzarim is the 3 weeks. How many days are there in the 3 weeks? 21 days. What do those 21 days of Avelus correspond to? They respond to the 21 days between Rosh Hashanah and Hoshanah Rabbah. Rosh Hashanah, when is Hoshanah, when is Hoshanah Rabbah, I'm sorry, Rosh Hashanah and Shmini Atzeres. The holiday season begins with Rosh Hashanah. When is Shmini Atzeres? The 22nd day in Chutz Liaretz. And Eretz Yisrael?
Same thing.
22nd day.
So there are
22 days. So there are 22 days. So why don't we include that's 22 days? But the Bein HaMetzarim is 21 days.
So in the Rabbah.
Until Hoshanah Rabbah. Okay, it could be that's really what it means. Okay, it could be. So the Chazal, they say this idea is that it's always a Zeh L'um HaZeh. They're always parallels. Just as there are 3 weeks of Avelus, the 3 weeks of Avelus correspond to the 3 weeks of Simcha of coming close to Kadosh Baruch Hu from the time of Rosh Hashanah through Hoshanah Rabbah. I think it also could be is that the 10th day of Tisha B'Av is also, it's really true, because the 10th day of Tisha B'Av also is a parallel, because the 10th day of Av is also a day of Avelus until Chatzos, since the most of the Mikdash burnt on the 10th day. So in truth, it is 22 days. Just like on Rosh Hashanah, we have from Rosh Hashanah until Shmini Atzeres, it's 22 days. Likewise, from Shavuos B'Tammuz through the 10th day of Av, which the Chelik of the Avelus is 22 days. Here as well, B'chol Sifke Balayla, the crying took place at night. Therefore, this is the Makar. Chazal used this as the Makar to lay Megillas Esther at night. Megillas Eich at night. And even some communities, they make a bracha. I think Minig Yerushalayim, they make a bracha if you have a kosher Megillah. Kemaris, right? If you have a kosher Megillah, there's the minigra and the minig of Yerushalayim is to make a bracha on a Megillas Eicha. So you make a bracha, it has a din of a kriya. That's interesting because that really goes against the grain of Shulchan Aruch, where you generally do not make brachas on
Did you say Shal Sinisim also?
No, that you don't say. Shachianu, no, there's no Shachianu. Of course not, there's no Shachianu. Even when you lay in from the other Megillos, to make a Shachianu is very controversial. There are two Mishaels. To Yuchal, do you make a bracha on a Megillah? Because learning a Megillah is only a minhag, it's not a halacha. And even if you're going to make a bracha, do you make a Shachianu? So there are different opinions, but certainly everyone agrees you don't make a Shachianu when it comes to lending of Megillas Eicha. Now what about, so you just, it's interesting with something which this halacha which goes against the grain of what we're used to, but we have to understand it's always going to be a parallel is Zelum HaZeh to counteract the Tsar. And where is the Zelum HaZeh? Megillas Esther. And the laying of Simchas Torah as well. Simchas Torah tonight is an appreciation of the Oretz. Shloi Berachoi Ba'Torah Tchila. And here is Simchas Torah now. We bedavka make the bracha, but we make the bracha night. If you go to the disciple, if you go to a shul, there are different causes. How many at least you make at night, in the night of Simchas Torah? Yeah. Does anyone remember 3 or 5?
Some even
make
3 to 5.
So many are of the opinion that you should only make 3, because to make bechlal, to make a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah at night is something which is very weak. Has no makar, it's a minog, it's not clear where the minog even really started, how it started. Dailucha, it's enough to make 3 sets of brachas, not to push them to make 5 brachas at night. Okay, in any event, I just want to point that parallel. Now let's see Rashi. Now Rashi goes on to now tell us another deeper meaning of why it means balayla. It's this week's parsha. Parsha Shlach is the shoresh of the Churban of Tisha B'Av. When the Meraglim came back, Vayivku balayla hahu, they cried balayla hu that night, a bechia shel chinam. And because of the bechia shel chinam, we were punished to have a bechia l'doyres. And that's Rashi here. It says Dover Acher. What's the other significance? Hal balayla laila shel bechias Meraglim. It's the anniversary of the crying of Klal Yisrael of the Meraglim. What does that mean? Tisha B'Av Garmaluchem. That took place, this crying took place on the 9th day of Tisha B'Av, is what caused Klal Yisrael to observe the Churban, the Beis HaMikdash. what do we mean? We'll see soon in the Targum. Targum elaborates that when the Merachim came back, they complained against Eretz Yisrael, and the Klal Yisrael cried, Hashem's crying for nothing, I'll make it the Bechiel Ledoyer, it's Dover Acher. Dover Acher. A third interpretation, Shekol HaBoicha Balayla HaShemea Koiloi Boicha Imai. The night, I'm sure there must be some scientific understanding of what this means, that sound waves, yes. Sound waves, do you hear such a thing?
Sure.
Sound waves travel at night easier, with less friction.
People aren't that. There's no.
You can hear it yourself.
That's not a scientific. That's just a mitzvah.
If you're driving south, you could hear the New York stations down in Georgia.
Right.
And you can't do it during the day.
No.
Why not?
The sun.
Very good. Good. So you said before another interpretation. This is just dumb. It's a mistake that during the day there's so much noise pollution. Everyone is busy. Everyone is honking. Everyone is screaming in the streets. That's the number one complaint. 311. What is the number one complaint the city receives when you dial 311? Noise pollution. People are wherever you go, people are drilling, making noise, and doing all these crazy things. That's the number one complaint. Noise. So during the day, there's a lot of noise. You can't hear someone crying. You don't hear the crying. It's drowned out in the other noise. But at night, then there is less. A noise, and when there's less noise, then it's easier to hear other people what's going on. And this is what Rashi says, Shekol. Okay, that's one of them. But others say it's more scientific, that the rays of the sun interfere with sound waves. You say with radio waves as well. Radio waves. Wi-Fi is not as strong.
In Florida.
Yeah, Wi-Fi is better at night. Wi-Fi, you get 3 bars at night, 2 bars during the day. Is that how it works? 4G?
It's better because during the day you have more molecules of air because it's very hot.
The sun.
It's got a lot of hot air.
Okay. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, I have to ask, the level of decorum is deteriorating very, very rapidly. Please, Rabbi Yisrael, please, just a little more. Just, it's very good to engage and have a lively discussion, but we have to still do it within reason, please. Okay, Rashi here says, "Bochay sivke balayla." We have this idea that a person that racha balayla shekola boicha balayla hashmei koylei boicha ima. It's not clear what this means. You hear someone, yeah, the sound travels better. Okay, so you hear someone else scream. But this all Rashi also seems to say is that if you hear someone crying during the day, you don't care. It doesn't. No, that's the first. That's the symbol. You don't hear it. But then Rashi seems to say something a little bit more. It's not just a matter of hearing it. Rashi seems to imply that even if you hear someone else cry during the day, okay, he's
you're
crying.
Distracted. You're involved in many things.
You're distracted in other things.
At night, you're not.
You're busy.
You're lying there.
At night, you're in a mood to have empathy, to synthesize with other people. So there's more. That's why B'chay Sivke B'layla, she cries at night. Meaning, so Rashi is telling us that the crying spread. It was an intense crying. It was contagious. When one person cried, the whole Klal Yisrael cried. The degree of crying was that much greater because the crying was at night. We'll see more in a moment. What?
Darkness is more conducive to that.
Darkness, because it's a mood. The environment provides a backdrop where it's more conducive to mourn. V'dimasa alechia, her tears are upon her cheeks. Mitachshi boicha tamid. Rashi says this means continuous crying. It's just a metaphor. There is a continuous stream of tears. Al kol reecha, all of reecha. Rashi's reecha is the same thing as oyhavecha. The oyhavecha now have turned in to the oyvim, have turned into the enemies. Kol reecha, but all of her friends, reecha, her oyhavecha, betrayed her. And they became the oyvim. They became her enemies. Okay, let's see the Targum. Targum elaborates very much. Pasuk Beis Kad when Shalach Moshe Neviya. When Moshe the Navi. Notice he's always giving titles. We learned that Yirmi was the Navi and the Kohen Gadol. Here we have Moshe was the Navi. Kad when Shalach Moshe Neviya is Gadin Izgadin means to spy. A spy, le'aloloyos ara. When Moshe Rabbeinu, he sent Meraglim to spy out the land. The savu is gadaya, and they returned. The savu means they returned. The is gadaya, the spies returned. The afiku, and they brought forth. Shumbish, shum means a reputation of evil. They brought back an evil report. In this context, it means a report. Al arad Yisrael, v'hahi lelya. That event, what was the calendar day when the spies returned and brought back this evil report? Tisha yomim be'av hava. It was the ninth day of Av. V'chad shema'u amo beis Yisrael yas bisorasa bisha. When they heard this evil report, hoda. The Hoda de Is Basru Al Ara, upon that which they cast Al Arad Yisrael, Mutalu Amo Yos Kol Lehoin, they raised up their voice, Uvichu, and they cried, Belelio Hahu, in that night, Min Yatike, period. They cried that night, period. What happened at that moment? Min Yat, immediately. Tikeif rugza da Hashem behon, Hashem's anger was kindled. Hashem's anger flared up. Ugezar, at that moment it was decreed, lemehave bochan, they will cry, bochan means to cry, belel yohada on this night, lidorehon for all generations. Al churban beis mukdesha on the beis hamigdash. Uchado isamar binavuol yirmiyah, and at that point in time, It was said b'nevuah liyirmiyah kahana rabbah to Yirmiyah the Kohen Gadol lemehevei choreva Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim would be destroyed al yidod Nebuchadnezzar Rishiyah, the wicked Nebuchadnezzar, in lo siyavin bis yuvta, it will be destroyed if they do not do tshuva. There was still hope. It means, even though it's going to be destroyed, there is still hope if they do not do tshuva. I lost the place for a second. In lo siyavin bis yuvta tshuva. Min yad ol. V'olchach yas amo. Then, at that point, he entered. Yirmi entered. V'olchach, and he rebuked yas amo beis Yisrael. V'sarivu l'kabola b'memra. And they refused to listen to
what he said.
Bechain, therefore, because he, they refused to live, accept his rebuke, Bechain, therefore, all the Nebuchadnezzar Rishiyah, he entered. V'tzara yas Yerushalayim, he besieged Yerushalayim. U'beis mukdesha oikid binura, he kindled the Beis Hamikdash in fire. V'sha yamin b'yarcho diyav, on the ninth day of Av. U'beis u'bei b'chicha kinishta d'Yisrael b'chusa, and at that point in time they cried. The kinishta d'Yisrael klal Yisrael b'chusa, a cry. Vidim osa zaleg al leis toha, their tears flow down their cheeks. Veles di yimalel tanchumin al libaha, no one could provide comfort al libaha upon their heart. Min kol ta'avosa di rechimta, because all ta'avosa di rechimta lemezal bas rehon.
That it should come the comfort to them.
All of the abominations. I mean, so all the abominations which they are. Ali b'chay min kol ta'avosa. Ta'avosa means di rechimta lemezel basro. Known because of all the sins, the mistakes. Ta'avosa, all of the mistakes di rechimta lemezel basro, which they wanted, they had a desire to follow. No one could provide comfort. Uvigin, why all of this happened? Uvigin came kol chevraha. All of the friends are shiuba, became wicked. They betrayed Klal Yisrael. Is hapichu lemehave lo lebalei devavin. They became for Klal Yisrael balei devavin, people who quarrel. They became balei riv with Klal Yisrael. So because of our sins, we will punish for all of these things. Now I just want to go back to something we mentioned yesterday very briefly, just to go one more little clarification that this Targum does. Targum again over here for the second time calls Yirmiyah the Kohen Gadol. And why is it? Why do we need to know that Yirmiyahu was not just a Kohen, but it was the Kohen Gadol? Rashi yesterday mentioned that Klal Yisrael was punished Badad as a Mitzoyra, the only one that is punished. Badad Yeshev Michutz Lamachne Moshava is a Mitzoyra. Rashi here in this pasuk is telling us where, is telling us, filling us in, where did the Mitzoyra? Why does a person suffer from Tzaras? Because he speaks Lashon Hara. Here in pasuk Beis is where we're learning about the Lashon Hara that Klal Yisrael spoke about Eretz Yisrael. The punishment for Lashon Hara is Tzaras. A Mitzoyra is Nutrikin Motzi Shem Ra, Motzi Dibas Ra. In order to become a Mitzorah, you need to go to a Kohen. Only a Kohen can declare a person a Mitzorah. Now, therefore, but what about the entire Klal Yisrael becoming a Mitzorah? That you need the Kohen Gadol. See, there's one thing, there's a Kohen Hedyet, and there's a Kohen Gadol. To become an individual to be a Mitzorah, a regular Kohen Hedyet. But the Klal Yisrael to be a Mitzorah, the whole Klal Yisrael should be one big Mitzorah, you need the Psak of the Kohen Gadol. And that's why we have over here Dafka, the Targum is revealing to us in these two Psak Malachim Beis, this Tzaras. Tzaras comes from Lashon Hara, and that's why we need Yirmiyahu the Kohen Gadol in order to declare Klal Yisrael.
It's going to be a national epidemic?
Well, Tzaras is a spiritual disease. According to most Rishonim, it's a spiritual disease.
Spiritual for the whole nation.
The whole nation. The whole nation suffers, yes.
But this is the only case.
We don't see it anymore.
Only case where the whole Klal Yisrael is called a Mitzvah. Yeah. Badad Yeshev.
What is the effect of every Tzaras? In other words, if you have Tzaras, you have supposedly physical symptoms, a lesion of this. What's the impact?
Quarantined. Quarantine. Badad Yeshev Michutz LaMachaneh Moshava. The Machaneh is Eretz Yisrael. We have been exiled into Galus, and no one comes to our defense. Badad. That's what it says in the first pasuk.
Why don't we keep the night, the tenth of Galus? Everything happened at night. The crying was.
You can't.
One day, Chazal cannot put upon the tzibur more than one day. It's the gzer she'ein roiv hatzibur yecholim lamed but. It's machlekes in the Gemara. When should we observe the Chur Meis Hamidrash? The ninth or the tenth? Chazal, that's we paskin aschalta de peranusa.
And that's when did they cry?
Ninth. They cried the ninth.
The Meragim showed up at
ninth. The Meragim showed the ninth. Yeah, the crying was ninth. So you say that why? You asking a question? Why do we even have a Hava meaning to folks on the 10th day?
Because the rave of the...
No, they showed up at 9 o'clock at night, they gave their report, and then...
They cried right away, the 9th. They cried, the Targum was clear, they cried on the 9th. They cried on the night of the 9th Tishra. The beginning of Tishra is the moment when Klal Yisrael cried for the Churban Beis HaMikdash.
When did the Meragim give the report?
The ninth, they came back. The ninth.
They arrived.
Yes.
In the afternoon, they davened mincha, and right after mincha, they gave the report.
No, they davened
ma'ariv, and they started crying.
It was the ninth. It was the same time when we begin Tisha B'Av. That was the moment when they gave the report. Vayivku
ba'layla ha'hu. Which night did they cry? The ninth.
Not the tenth. The ninth. Okay, let's go now to. Okay, before we go to point out a few midrashim. Okay, a few short midrashim. First of all, we all are well aware that b'chay sivke, the Medrash elaborates all of the crimes, all of the punishments are double. I'll read you some second. It says b'chay sivke, double expression. We learn one by Shush, by Sheni. Yirmi, it says shever al shever nikra. Eini yardamayim. My eyes, they drip with water. Chet chata Yerushalayim. Kishtayim ros osu ami. Okay, so the punishment, the sin, is always described in the double form. And the Mepharshim explained, because every sin has two parts. A sin has the actual action, which is sinful, and then there is the machshava. Okay, then there is the machshava, which accompanies the intent, the evil intent. Yeah.
If they got punished for 40 years in the Midbar, the incident of the Rabbah, how is it that they're getting punished again? It's like double jeopardy, isn't it? That they're getting punished again. Rashi says it's a second punishment for the same crime.
I don't understand. I don't understand. The sin was so great that the punishment had to be fulfilled over forever until Mashiach comes. The sin was so. That's part of the punishment. That's part of the chet o'egel. Chazal says every generation we're being punished for the chet o'egel. Chet o'egel and the meraglim. All our punishments, every time there's a punishment, there's also a small punishment that's receding from. Because the sin was that great. Okay.
I think it's double jeopardy.
Only in the United States.
Okay, the reason why the Mefarshim explained, the reason why it's repeated, every sin has a double portion, has a double part. Number one, there's the chet itself, the corruption, the contamination, what a person does, the harm that is done with the action, and then every sin is premeditated. A person, the sin is not premeditated, there's no punishment, it's a shkoga, it's an oinus, you're not responsible. But when the sin is done b'nezid, before the person actually did the sin, he was planning and plotting, he was thinking about rebelling. So there's a double sin. There's the planning, and then there is the action. And that's why the pasuk here says the punishment must also be double. B'choy sifke, eini yardamayim. The pasuk says, kishtayim rois osa imadi, which alludes to the fact that every sin carries within it a double. And the only good thing is that the pasuk concludes, that's why just like our punishment was double, our comfort will be double. Nachamu, nachamu ami. The reason why the nachamu, the reason why parshas v'eschanan, we say nachamu, nachamu ami, is to make up for this pasuk b'cho sifke. What?
Where we say?
The Haftarah. Nachamu, nachamu ami. Shabbos nachamu. We learn from Yeshaya. We learn from Yeshaya, Perik Mem, pasuk Beis. Nachamu, nachamu ami. Why the repetition? Nachamu, nachamu. The Medrash says it's zelu umazeh. Because Megillas Eicha began with Bacho Sifke, there was an intense crying, a double form of crying, which connotes an intensity of crying. Memela Zelu umazeh. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us comfort, it will be double. It will be Nachamu, nachamu ami. Okay, now next. The next issue is, why does it say here, V'dimasa al lechya? Her tears are upon her cheeks. So there are multiple midrashim. Number one, the Medrash al derech pshat, that when the is this the Babylonians or was this the Romans? I think the Babylonians, when the Kazdim, when they came into the Beis Hamikdash, to show the Beis Hamikdash, they took hostage all of the Kohanim, or the young men, and they tied their hands to their backs. And they, the entire night they were crying, and they were unable to wipe the tears off their cheeks because they were prisoners. They were prisoners, their hands were shackled behind their backs. That's why it says, B'chol Sivke V'dimosa Alechya, indicates the torture that they endured during the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Other commentators tell us that after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, this is more of a Jewish, a homiletic interpretation, after the Beis Hamikdash, the gates of Tefillah are locked. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in hearing from us when we are mispalo. There's only one gate that's opened, the Sharei Demos, the gates of tears. The Sharei Demos, the Sharei Demos are not in. However, Chazal say that at this point in time, even the Sharei. Even at this point in time, even the Sharei Demos were locked. At the moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem did not want to accept any tefillah whatsoever, not even the tefillahs that were accompanied with tears. And that's what the pasuk here means, V'dimasa alechya. The tears remained where they were, on the cheeks. They did not enter Shamayim. They did not enter the Sharei Demos. Even though we have a principle, the Sharei Demos lo nanalu, the moment of the Churban Beis Hamikdash was the exception. Even the Sharei Demos were sealed shut. Okay, all the commentators, one on one marriage says the reason why we use the word lechya, lechya refers to the zraya, the lechayayim vehakeva. It's coming to indicate that the reason why the korban happened, the media, they refused to give the kohanim what their rightful due. The kohanim need to be supported. The kohanim have no chelik in Eretz Yisrael, Shevet Levi. They're there to serve Klal Yisrael. And they did not receive their paychecks on time. They did not get their check. You don't give a check to the rabbi on time. This is a very serious matter. This is his parnas. That's what he's relying upon. If the Rebbe doesn't get his check on time, he doesn't have Yishev Hadas to do what he's supposed to teach the children, to teach to do his role. And therefore, because the Kohanim did not receive the Matanois, and one of the Matanois is the Lechayayim, is the jaw of the animal, Mida, Kineged Mida, when the Churban occurred, the tears, the hot tears, remained on the jaw, the Lechayayim, of Klal Yisrael as a reminder of their sin of not supporting the Talmidei Chacham and the Kohanim. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel says, Golsa Yehuda Me'oini U'me'oiv Avayda. Yehuda went into Golas Me'oini. We'll see what that means in a moment. Due to poverty. Similarly, we'll see all their pshat. It means that after the Churban, they could have stayed there if they really wanted to. And this is very difficult to know what this means exactly. They were given the option, you want to stay here? You could stay here. But if we'll stay here, we'll starve to death.
There's no industry,
there's no food, there's nothing there. They had no choice but to leave, to go to Bavel, because they needed parnasa. Umeroiv avoida, due to the torture that the Kazdim, according to Rashi, they enslaved them. Due to the intense slavery that was put upon them by the Kastim, they were taken away to Bavel. He Yashav Agoyim, she sits among the nations. Loi Matzah Manoach, she does not find rest. Kol Roitvech, all of her enemies, his Sigua overtook her, or pursuers, his Sigua overtook her. Bein Hamitzah, between the boundaries. Let's see Rashi for a more precise translation. Gol Sa Yehuda. Yehuda may artsa from her land. May oini machmas oini, due to poverty. Due to the fact that they were in a state of poverty, that's why they were taken away to another land. Umeroiv avoidosh shechbidu olecha kastim, the kastim enslaved. They put upon them heavy labor. He yashav agoyim, uvimokim shegolsa, the yashva sham loimot samanach. Even in their galus, you would think, okay, here we can no longer live in the Eretz Yisrael because there's no parnasa, there's no food, and we're slaves to the kastim, so at least when we'll go to the new land, the Bavel, at least there we'll have parnasa, at least they will have a good life. No, even when they went to the new location, they did not find any menucha, manoach rest. Bein hamitzarim. So this is a figurative expression. It's not to be taken literally. All of her pursuers overtook her between the boundaries. Sheyesh goiva mikan umikan. There is a boundary. Goiva here means a boundary. Mikan. What?
Really, it's, what it's saying is in a tight spot.
Okay, between a rock and a hard place. Mm-hmm. And a tight spot. Goiva means someone that's a pursuer. Goiva means a high boundary. There's a goiva, a high boundary, mikan umikan. Ve'ein makoim lonus. There is nowhere to escape. Hametzarim, givulim, a meitzar is a boundary. Shel sode, the chelim of a field and a vineyard. It's used, but a sod, a field and a vineyard, that's where we use this word. Umerish agoda, what's the bein hametzarim? What is the boundary of the tkufa of the time of Avelus, Bein Shiva Osa B'Tamuz L'Tisha B'Av. That during this period of time of Shiva Osa B'Tamuz, that's when the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. It took the enemy three weeks to go from the city wall of Yerushalayim and destroy the Beis Hamikdash. If you go, I once heard Rav J.J. Schachter discussing this. He says, you go on a tour from the old city, from the walls of you, obviously the walls of the old city today obviously are not the walls of the city at the time of the Bayis Rishon. Okay, but it's... But it's approximately in the same location. It's maybe from the Bayis Rishon.
Yeah.
So if you take a walk, time it. Time the walk. Stand by the walls of the old city and walk to the Kaisel. How long does it take? 4 minutes. He said exactly how long it takes to walk at a casual pace. It takes like 4 or 5 minutes. Not more than that. What? That's fast, 4 or 5 minutes?
Yeah.
From the walls of the old city, with no traffic?
No, it was a different walk then.
It was a different walk. It could be the wall was even closer. Was even closer. So he described, he says, 1, 2, 3, before you blink, you're already there. It took the enemy 3 weeks to get from that location to the Kaisel to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. You only could imagine the intensity of the battle. The battle, 3 weeks for them to go and move what would take otherwise 5 minutes to walk. And do we know how many people died during that period of time? Over 1 million people. A million people.
Today, inner city fighting is a...
It's not easy. So this is, and that's, and today there's all these high tech types of weapons. They're dealing over here how they fought with hand and foot and stone. But this Tkufa between Shiva, Os V'Tammuz, and Tisha B'Av is not a good time. All of our pursuers, all of within history, a lot of the terrible things that happened on World War II broke out on Tisha B'Av. World War One broke out on Tisha B'Av. Okay, the Inquisition, the expulsion from Spain was on Tisha B'Av. I don't remember all the many events. A lot of things that happened in modern times. Look, last year, the terrible war in Gaza last year was during the 3 weeks. Go back a few years ago, the war in Lebanon was during the 3 weeks. It's never a good time to go to war during the 3 weeks. Called Roitfecha Hisigua Bein Hamitzarim.
The worst time.
The worst time. It's a very dangerous time. Called Roitfecha Hisigua Bein Hamitzarim. Okay, now let us, before we see the Medrash, I want to just point out a few important things. Number one, the Zelu Mazeh, we mentioned this before, Zelu Mazeh, just like we have the 3 weeks, we have these 21/22 days, including the 10th day of Av. There are 22 days. The Bein Hamitzarim between Shivas V'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av is the time of Tsar. There is the same 22 days between Rosh Hashanah and Shmini Atzeres, Zelu Mazeh, where we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, under special divine protection. Next idea. In a day, there are two parts. There are two onos. There are 12 hours of day, 12 hours of night. And that means that really there, how many time periods are there in 3 weeks? 42 time periods. 3 weeks is 21 days. Okay, let's drop out the 10th here. Let's just focus on literally the Bein HaMitzvah between Shivas V'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. It's exactly 3 weeks, exactly 21 days. 21 days have two parts, day and night, for a grand total of 42. What is the significance of 42 when discussing the Churban? The 42 Masos. Parshas Maaseh, Chazal tell us that each one of the Masos represents another part of this process of Golus. Just
the
like we...
The second year?
The Meraglim was in the first year, I believe. Was it the second year? Yeah, second year? Yeah, second year.
They traveled
39 years, or 38 years. But during the 38 years, how many stops did they make? They made 42 stops. According to some opinions, they made most of the stops at the very end. They just stayed in one place for 35 years. They didn't go anywhere. But then they made various stops. What was that long period of time? But the point is that each stop, each leg of the journey corresponds to another tekufa, another period in Jewish history where Klal Yisrael would travel from one country to another country. They say we're on the last leg of our trip. Coming to America, it really appears to be already over. It appears all the action now already is in Eretz Yisrael. Right? You tell me 20, 30 years ago, Eretz Yisrael was still developing. Was still very, very weak. So you'd say, where is Yiddishkeit strong? America. Today, would you really say that? A lot of people will tell you not like that. They would say Yiddishkeit is strong in Eretz Yisrael. That's where all the action is. Even money. Where's all the big money coming from today? Is it still all coming from America? I mean, yes, to some degree, but a lot has shifted. It's a different world. Global economy. It's different. We're already on past the last leg where we are returning to Eretz Yisrael. But the point is, there are 42 masos, 42 maisa avos timlubon corresponding to the different legs of the journey of Golas. Therefore, the Bein HaMitzarim is a microcosm of the masos. Because the Bein HaMetzarim has 42 oinos. It's a 3-week period. In history, there's 42 masos. In the Midbar, there are 42 masos. And every single year during the three weeks, we have a microcosm of the 42 masos when we go through the 42 onos of the Bein HaMetzarim. And during Golus, we are vulnerable. We're vulnerable and we have to do our best to protect ourselves. Okay, there's another very popular drush. Kol roitfecho hisigur Bein HaMetzarim. The roitfecho here is not to be interpreted as our enemies. It's interpreted as a reference to us. All those that are chasing after the Ribbono Shel Olam. Anyone who wants to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu can reach him during the Bein HaMetzarim. The whole year, during a time of Tzara, when Rachman Litzlan is a Tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imoy Anochi B'Tzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes himself available. He allows himself to become available during. So therefore, Kol Roitfech again means all members of Klal Yisrael who want to pursue, who want to develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are able, will succeed to overcome HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bein HaMetzarim during the days of the Bein HaMetzarim between Shivas V'Tamos and Tisha B'Av. It's a special time of the year. Zelu Mazeh. It's a dangerous time of the year. We need special Shmira. But if we'll take advantage of this time of the year and come close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, we are guaranteed success. We're not guaranteed success throughout the rest of the year. There are other things getting in our way. But during this time, Imo Yanochi Yibitzara. Rashan also, and it's different out there. In Chanan, it's different, but it's a different element. Rashan is time of tshuva. It's dir shu Hashem bihimatzo kiru biyotzei karayv. But then there's a time of tzara. Time of tzara also, Kadosh Baruch Hu is ima yinochi b'tzara. Two different types of times. What?
Use the 21 days.
So Bein Hamitzar means those 21 days as well. So dir shu Hashem bihimatzo those in Chanan. It's a very beautiful idea. Yeah.
He discusses the 42 masos.
Which one, Weinberger?
Weinberger.
Weinberger from Eishatar, from...
I think it's Weinberger. Where is it? Eishkodesh? Eishkodesh? He passed away,
Rabbi Noach Weinberger. Rabbi Noach Weinberg from Arsameach.
No,
Eishatar.
Eishatar.
Noach Weinberg is Eishatar.
Eishatar, not Arsameach?
No.
No.
Okay.
So he discusses the 42 masos in the Eishatar. He says, you know, if you read a lot of it, the Jews complained a lot in the Midbar. They didn't have food, they didn't have water. But you never read them complaining about the Masoros. They never complained about it.
But the
he
traveling.
Said, picture it, you had to unload, and then the cloud beyond it goes up.
Okay, so what's the significance?
The significance of what?
Of not complaining. Of not complaining for the Masoros. Versus complaining for the others.
The Jews, they didn't complain about things that most of us would complain about. Imagine you in life, you move one day, and a day later, a week later, you got to move again, and you find a nice, comfortable place. I'm a chaya, I can live here, I want to stay here for a couple of weeks. The next day, you open up, you got to go. And then, ironically, you get stuck in a place that's very hilly, very
and they were there
dirty,
for a few
it's
years.
Uncomfortable, and you're waiting for the owner to lift, and you don't complain. You wait, because that's the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that was the he said the chashivas of the Bnei Yisrael with the Masoros, you never hear them complaining. They complain about everything else.
Okay, very nice.
That's a complimentary view.
Good, very good, very nice, very nice. Okay, let's see the Targum. We need the Targum on Pasuk Gimel. The Targum says, okay, Azilu Beis Yehuda. They traveled. What Azilu means? They traveled Beis Yehuda, Bigalusim Golus, Ad Havo Me'anin, Yasmin the Armilon. Now here he introduced a new idea. Until Klal Yisrael became Me'an, so he's translating the word Me'oni. I'm sorry. Because they tortured the Yosam the Almana. Okay, so he teaches here Me'oni to mean, not like Rashi. Rashi says, Rashi's a very interesting shot. Machmas Oini, because of their poverty, because of their destitute state, they had no choice but to leave Eretz Yisrael and go into Golus. They couldn't survive there any longer. No, it's because Me'oni, they afflicted the poor. You have to add a word in. Oh yeah, there are many dimensions of Chumash. Al dehavo, because me'anin, they tortured. They tortured the Yasmin, the Yosam, the Ar, Molon, and the widow. Vial, what else did they do? Vial Sigius, Pulchona, and because of the Avoda. This is one of the Haftorahs, Parashas Mishpatim, because they failed to free the slaves. If every sells himself to you, what does the Torah say? After 6 years, he must go out. After 6 years, during the time of Yirmiyah, during the time of the Churban Bayis, people, they were Jewish slaves. The Bezdin sold people because they could not afford to pay their debts. So they were sold as an evidently. 6 years came, and if the slave says, you take him to the door, you bore a hole through the ear, and they become a nirtza. But if the Eved doesn't say this, you have to let the Eved go free. Not only must you let the Eved go free, you must pay severance, hanukkah. And this was an epidemic at the time of the Churban, where people did not let their slaves go free. You owe $1 million, you've been sold for 6 years, so you're going to stay here until you pay off the debt. Oh, but the Torah says after 6 years you go free. Too bad for what it says in the Torah. You're going to be my slave. That was considered to be a very great sin, for which is one of the causes that the Pasuk says why they went to Galus. The Targum points this out. The Al-Sagi'us, because of the intensity, pulchona, of slavery, of work, the Havo Mefal, there is dab nu lohoin, that were sold to them. They were Jews, their fellow Jews were sold as slaves, and they did not let them go free, and they put upon them forced labor. There were Jewish people. They did not let these slaves go free. That's how we tie it to the word umeroiv. Avoida, not like Rashi that says the Kasdim, they're exilers. The Kasdim are the ones that imposed upon them slavery. No, this is a cause. The reason why you're going into Galus is because you have afflicted the Yosam the Almana, that's the Oni, and the reason also because Rav Avoda is because you did not let your slaves go free. You intensified the Avoda when the Torah said they should go free. Next, Ubegin. What else? What else? Ubegin came because of this. Af Inun Ismisar. Rubiyad Alama. Therefore, Midik and Gemira, they were given over as slaves to the other nations. They sat. The first Golas.
Wasn't the first
Golas
the Golas of the.
There are multiple causes. There are multiple dimensions in the Golas. So here, the Targum, so far, we've never come across Avodah Zarah Gilei Rai Shvi. We only come across Lashon Hara. I mean, there's so many different Lashon Hara. They spoke Lashon Hara. That was during...
But he's saying Beis Yehuda.
Okay, and this specific targum, he's focusing.
He's focusing.
Well, that's the only one that was left. The only one that left Yehuda Binyamin. The ten Shvat were already Ash already exiled them already many years before.
He's already saying the two churma of the two batei mikdash.
Okay, so we're jumping around. It's an illusion.
After the churma.
Well, that was Rashi. That wasn't the Targum. So Rashi was the one that said Bayis Rishon Bayis Sheni. The Targum never said Bayis Rishon Bayis Sheni. Okay, that.
But even according to Rashi, it shouldn't say Golsa Yehuda.
Yehuda is a term. Is a collective term for Klal Yisrael.
She says it also refers to the first.
So Yehuda was the only.
Okay, we're not doing Rashi now. Now we're focusing on the Targum. The Targum.
Ten Shvatim were kicked out during the first Beis Hamikdash.
That's what I'm saying.
So it was Yehuda that was sent to Galus.
But Rashi is saying that Eicha is referring to both, but
yeah, but there was no other Shvatim.
Ashur never took
Yerushalayim. Okay, but right now we're focusing on the Targum. The Targum says one of the sins was that he's listing up two new sins and he's learning these pshat in the pasuk because of the Yosam, the Almana, the way they were treated. Number two, because they did not free their Jewish slaves, and therefore the Targum goes further concludes, and because of this they were Uvegin came because of this af inun they is. Me saru, they were delivered. Biad am maya, they were delivered in the hands of other nations. Uchanishta deves Yehuda yaspa begoy am maya, they sat. They lived among the far other nations. V'loy ashkachu niyocha mi pulchana kashel. They did not find rest minucha from slave labor. Dishabidu yasa, that they were that was imposed upon them. V'chol d'hava rodif yasa, anyone that tried to pursue to overtake Klal Yisrael. Ad biku yasaw would cleave, would succeed, kad he mis chav'ah, when they were enclosed, they were entrapped, Bein Tichumayo, between the boundaries. When they were trapped between the boundaries, they were hiding between the Mulu Miskaba means hiding. When they were hiding in the boundaries, Ve O Ikula, and they oppressed them. The word Ve O Iku means to oppress, they oppressed Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go to the next Pasik. Pasik, some other Midrashim. Now there's another Midrash that says Oini refers to Lechem Oini. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished Klal Yisrael because they did not observe the mitzvah of matzah. Okay, from all the possible sins they could have done, I mean, there are many dimensions. There's a meresis. There's Avodah Zorah, Gilei Raya, Shvichas Dam. That's one dimension. Then we have Yasam V'Almona. And we have the snatched finger of the slaves. There's another dimension. You know why there was Golas? Because when it came Pesach, people just said, you know, it's too expensive. I'm not interested. I'm not interested. We're going to eat chametz on Pesach. Matzah, this is an old minog. We're not interested in this anymore. It's how you talking? Just because they didn't want to eat matzah. Okay, so what's the difficulty? Just because they didn't want to eat matzah. They didn't want to eat matzah. That's why they should be enslaved. They should be tortured. So the answer is that the matzah is not the cause, it's the symptom. The symptom is they have no appreciation of Yitzias Mitzrayim. No understanding. The reason why Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim was to bring the very chosen should be the Am HaNivchar. If you're not eating the matzah, it means I couldn't care less about Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're just a separate nation. We're our own nation. We're it's freedom. Every nation eventually. What? It doesn't say that's not relevant. Matzah's lechem oini. It represents ki bichipazon yotzasam yeretz mitzrayim dvarim lechem sh'einin olav dvarim harbe. It was a symptom. They couldn't care less about yitzias mitzrayim, and you don't care about yitzias mitzrayim. So go back where you came from. Go back where you came from. You go back to Golis.
You know they grew out. They got baskets of the
It says they ate chametz at Pesach.
The point is matzah. The point is they had no regard for the matzah, the lechem oni.
Because Yitzias Mitzrayim represents leaving oni behind.
Right, right.
And now it's Mino Keneg and Mino. They didn't appreciate it, so oni behind.
Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Dalet. Darchei Tzion Avelos. The Darchei, the roads of Tzion are Avelos. Now notice here we focus on the word Tzion. The word Yerushalayim is not all that popular in Eicha. The word Tzion is a more popular word in the Kinos on Tisha B'Av. After we finish the main part of the Kinos from the Kaliyar, then we have a whole section of the Tzions. Tzion, every single one begins with the word Tzion. A lot of people don't get even to say that. That's already end of Kinos. Depends what you dive in. A lot of those are skipped, except for the famous one of Rav Yehuda Halevi. Rav Yehuda Halevi, the famous one, Tzion Elois Tishlu Shlemos Yareich. That's a very some of those are more popular than others. But in any event, Darchei, the world's Elitzion, V'Arecha. So here we have Darchei, we'll come to discuss at one point the difference between Tzion and Yerushalayim. There are many interpretations that chilik between the two. But right now it says Darchei Tzion Avelos, the ways of Tzion Avelos, and now the different interpretations what this means. Simply means that no one is coming any longer to be Oile L'Regel. That is how Rashi learns. Mibli, they're Avelos, they're in mourning. Mibli Boi Moed. Moed means the set time, the appointed time. Three times a year is the appointed time for people to come and go up to Eretz Yisrael. Kol shehorecha shoyimim, all of its gates are desolate. That can also refer to the Sanhedrios, all of the mekomos where the Talmidei Chachamim sit. The gate of the city, but Shar also refers to the Sanhedrin. Kohanecha ne'enochin, the Kohanim are sighing, they are saddened. Loshen yogoin, wait, that's the next rapture. The ne'enochin, they are saddened. Bisulosecha nugos, the maidens, the young girls are nugos, are saddened. The he and the city itself, Marla, is extremely bitter. Let's see Rashi. Boi Moed, Oilei Rugalim. Nugois, the Besulosecha, her young girls are Nugois, Loshen Yogoin. The Ein Shoresh Beteva Ella Hagimel Levad. This is a Rashi which sparks a lot of discussion. What does Rashi mean that the only Shoresh in the word is the Gimel? There's no such thing as having a letter, a word, who only has one single letter. There's a machloikis between Rashi and Menachem ben Tzoruk. If a word can have two letters as the shoresh, or do you need three? What? There are some, that's a question, two or three, but here there's no such thing. Over here what it means, yogon, what do you mean, what it means here is, I saw this explained in the Sefer, what it means, even though you have a word that has a shayosh of three letters, sometimes one of those letters can drop off in a given context. And there are certain letters, for example, a yud, a hey, a vav. So the word over here, the real word is yigah, yud, gimel, hey, if I'm not mistaken. And sometimes a yud, even when the yud is part of the anchor shoresh, can be drop off in a different context. And sometimes, certainly, the letter hey can disappear. So the only letter of this shoresh, yud, gimel, hey, that will always remain no matter what, is the gimel. That's what Rashi means. Loshen yagon means tsar. V'in shoresh b'tev, the main letter which always will appear, even though the yud and the hey may disappear, ela ha-gimel levada. Okay, now there's a fascinating targum, almost out of time. We are out of time, so we'll have to stop a little. I'll just tell you it outside. We'll come back to it tomorrow. And Targum basically says that the Besulosecha Nugos, I'll tell you very quickly now, we'll do it tomorrow, is that no longer will the Besulos be able to find Shidduchim. We know that twice a year, lo hayu yamim taim lishol ki tu ba'av and yom ha-kippurim shabohen b'nois yishol yaitzais, they would dance in the vineyard and they would borrow clothing from each other, wear white clothing, and the boys would come and watch them dance and would select girls as wives, and the girls would promote themselves. A girl that was pretty would say einisha el yaifi, a girl that yichus would say einisha el labanim, and so on and so forth. Everyone would promote their milos for the different types of boys. This event now came to an end with the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the Besulosecha Nugois. They're saddened, basically, if you want to read between the lines, doesn't say this explicitly, but basically is, this is the source of the Shidduch crisis. That you know, it's not for nothing that Chazal say, Kol HaMisameh Chosan V'Kala Ki'ilu Bona, Churba Achas Mechurba Yerushalayim. Being Mesameh Chos Mekal is like rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that so? What is the connection? The connection is the frustration and the struggle. The Siyat D'Shmayin, in easily finding a Zivug, is rooted in the Churba Beis HaMikdash. The Churba Beis HaMikdash is the ultimate bias. It's the ultimate bias in Klal Yisrael. A Chos Mekala is building a bias in Mikdash Ma'at. If there's no major Beis HaMikdash, there's no Kiddusha, the Shechin is not resting, that has a trickle-down effect on difficulty, frustration in building a bias.
Yeah, you say there's always the Shishin Yom Lefnei,
Arboim Yoim Lefnei Yetzirah, Basko, but you have to find it. You have to find it.
There's no one,
there's a lack of Siyata D'Shmaya. And we all appreciate that today. There's definitely a frustration. Even the most successful people that have all the miles and have no reason why, we see that there's always frustration and there's a struggle. Everyone hopefully will make it to the end of the finish line, but there's this difficulty. Where does that come from? This pasuk. Look what it says in this pasuk. It says, "Bisulosech." What is the churban of Yerushalayim? What did that bring in its wake? Darchei Tzion Avelos, Bisulosech Nugois. And what does the Targum say? The Targum says, you look at the Targum later on, basically it says that now the simcha of coming to the Mechilos was bottled. 2 days a year. Remember, the Targum elaborates upon this very, very much. It's a very powerful thing in that if we would only have Mashiach just to solve the Shidduch crisis, that would be worth everything. Forget about everything else, right? What do you want the real rebuilding of the base? Oh, Hashras Hashchina, and you want to be able to Dagas HaParnasa, and you want to have this, you want to have that. Forget about all those things. It's Kedai, there should be the rebuilding of the base HaMikdash just to solve one problem. One problem. Frustration in Shidduchim. It would be Kedai for that alone. That's what it says over here. Can't deny this. I'm not making this up. All right, we'll stop.